Well, good morning. Super Bowl Sunday. Who in here is going for the Chiefs? Just with an applause. Chiefs, come on, Chiefs. All right. Who in here is going for the Eagles? It's about split. It's a split. Okay, the Chiefs again. Eagles. How many of you in here love Jesus? All right. I think Jesus is going to win all day, no matter who wins the Super Bowl. It's going to be a great Super Bowl. I know that. I'm excited about it. Think about how many people are going to be watching. And as Shauna said, how many people are going to be celebrating, going crazy, getting excited about these football players that are going to be on the field. And it should really humble us as Christians, because we don't get that excited about Jesus all the time. And I think we should give him a little bit of glory when we come together. So talking about that, Sean and I were gone last week. I don't know if you noticed that. The guy that was preaching was a little bit lighter than me, a little bit. And Mark Buckley, thank God for him coming and speaking. A wonderful man of God. But Sean and I were in Tulsa. We were visiting my son in Arkansas, in Bentonville, Rogers area. And then we went to Tulsa for the weekend. And I looked up churches in Tulsa, and I wanted to try something different. And so I said, we're going to go visit this church, and it's going to stretch you guys. And it's going to stretch me. It was an African-American church. And we went there, and they were getting down. They were getting down. The praise and worship was 45 minutes. Our services are 45 minutes sometimes. That's not even the preaching. And just when I thought they were going to stop worshiping, and then I would kind of sit down, and they'd just start up again, and they're jumping up and down. It was wonderful. So it was a great time. And then we came back on Saturday. We flew back on Saturday night. And we went Sunday to the Feed My Starving Children, a collective of people from all over the city of Tucson that met at Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. And they were trying to make meals that would feed, I think it was like 1 point some million meals. 1 point some million meals. And guess what? We were the second shift yesterday, and by the time we were done, it was met. They had the 1.4 million meals that they wanted to feed. So just from us yesterday, we had 330 volunteers. We filled 330 boxes, which was accounted to 71,280 meals that we prepared just in our shift. And the kids that are fed a daily meal for a year from what we did was 195 kids will be fed for a year. Oh, the meals that were packed for the week was 1,541,808. Go God. Go God. If you don't believe there's a God in heaven, let's just look at this and how much he cares about children. Just with a show of hands, how many of you were there yesterday? Show of hands. Praise the Lord. We had a one-third of that. That big sanctuary was filled with Living Word Chapel people, and that's beautiful. It says a lot when we go out there and do things together for the glory of God. It was just beautiful, and I want to thank you. In fact, let's give God a big hand. Let's give you a big hand. If you were serving, if you weren't serving, come on, let's pick it up. Let's be there next year. It's a great thing for us to do. So we've been talking about the joy, how we can experience joy in our lives, and how many of you need a little bit more joy in your life? Would you admit we've gone through some difficult times? And one of the things that the Lord kind of spoke to me was for us to make this year the year that we concentrate on the joy that comes from God. because there's so many joy robbers. There are so many things that come into our lives that steal the joy that we're supposed to be living in or walking in. And we found that our joy is not dependent on our circumstances. It's dependent on the one who is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we grab a hold of that truth, it helps us in whatever we're facing. And we've been going through the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. It's called Philippians. And in that letter, Paul is writing not from the Holiday Inn, or he's not writing from a resort. He's writing from prison. Okay, he's writing from prison. And he's in prison because of the gospel, because he was preaching the gospel. And so he was a person that before Christ came into his life, he was incarcerating Christians. He has this zeal, and then God met him on the road to Damascus, Jesus did, and he changed his life. And then instead of him chasing people for Jesus, he started chasing people for the cause of Christ, with the cause of Christ. And he got into all kinds of trouble for doing so. So he's writing to the church in Philippi, and it also affects us in modern times. It affects us because all of us should have the joy of the Lord as we live through this life. Because there's so many things that we face on a daily basis. And today I want to talk about obedience and the joy that we get from obedience. Now, I know it's never happened to any of you, but just in case you heard about it happening to someone, you know, when you tell someone to do something that's going to benefit them, it's going to help them if they follow through with what you've told them to do, and they don't listen. It's never happened in this service right here. The other service may struggle with it, but not you guys and not you girls. Everything that you tell someone to benefit their lives, they listen, they heed your advice. And you don't have anyone in the sticker patch that's in your family or in your friendships. But you find that when people listen to sound advice, that if they do it, good things happen. Amen? And it produces joy. It produces something inside of us because there's harmony with obedience. You're listening to good counsel. I used to tell my kids this saying, and I heard it from somebody, and I never forgot it, and now they own it. They talk about it. I used to say, smart people learn from their mistakes. Yes. Wise people learn from other people's mistakes. Okay, so you can be obedient in learning what God wants us to learn. Or we can learn it from doing the things that we're not supposed to be doing that God wants us to learn. Amen? Amen. And so today is going to, it's going to test you. Today is going to test me because obedience takes work. Obedience takes a step in the direction of where God wants you to go. And when you do this, there's a joy that comes from obedience. There's something to be said about being teachable. How many of you in here are teachable? Praise God. I've always strived to be teachable. Someone said, "We all are." No. You're not all. No. I've lived 58 years. I just had a birthday. And not everybody's teachable. We should be. There are times in my life when I'm not teachable. There was a time before Christ that I thought I knew everything. And guess what I found out? I didn't. And we're always learning. We're always able. We have a choice to submit to the things that are going to benefit us, or to do the things that we think are going to benefit us, but they don't because they're outside of the sphere of God. So we're going to chapter 2 of Philippians. The Apostle Paul continues to write to the church there in Philippi, and we're going to pick up in verse 12. We're going to read through verse 18, and this is how it starts in 12 from the NLT. It says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. Now that brought a smile to Paul, right? That as he's writing, he's probably thinking, you've listened, you followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Because it's one thing for us to do the things that we should be doing when people are in our presence, but it's even more importantly that we do it when people are not. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. What we do in the dark says a lot about our lives. What we do when no one is watching says a lot about our lives. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. In other words, Paul might, your translation might say, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. For God is working in you. This is one of my favorite scriptures, verse 13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So you can't even get the glory. Oh, look what I did for you, God. Look, I went to feed my starving children on February the 8th. And look, I was a part of, you know, all these meals. And God says, I actually prepared that for you, James Reese. I brought you home on the airplane safe. You were able to get up in the morning and go. I put a desire in you to go because there was something that was happening in my life yesterday that I actually wanted to go and participate in this. Amen? That wasn't me. That was the Lord working in me and through me. So he gives you the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing. And I know that none of you ever, you didn't complain this week. You didn't argue on the way to church. Everything's, you know, harmonious in your life, right? But if you have to notice something, when Paul gives an instruction, it's because we need it, right? When the Holy Spirit is working through the scriptures, it's because we need this, because all of us complain and all of us, at times, we argue. So that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Jesus told his disciples, you are the light of the world. We should all be shining bright. We should all look different. We used to live there in that dark place, but now we're here in the light. So we're children of light. Amen? And it takes a choice for us to walk it out, to live it out. Hold firmly to the word of life. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. Paul is telling the Philippians, I've worked to have you where you're at. I've poured into you. And when Jesus comes back, I don't want to find that my work was in vain. I want to see that my work was fruitful and that you guys are manifesting the things of the Lord. That's what he wants from every single one of us. He said, I will rejoice. I will rejoice even if I lose my life. I'm pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. In our elders' prayer at 7 a.m. this morning, we talked about Acts 20:24, and Rob Walker brought this scripture to us about how Paul said, I've lived my life and I've run the race. He says this also in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. I run the race, but he says, I continue. The prize that's set before me, I'm looking to the finish line. How many of you are having your eyes on the finish line? You're not putting your eyes on everything on the side. You're saying, I want to finish. That may be 5 years. That may be, you know, that may be 10 years. That may be 20 years. Some of you are saying, praise the Lord, just 20 more years, Lord. Might be 5 minutes. I don't know. We don't know that. He does. But we should be looking to that finish line. We should be giving ourselves to God. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God. He said, my faithful service is an offering to God, but your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. So let's rejoice. Let's share some joy this morning. Let's let God, the Holy Spirit, manifest what only He can do as we consider some takeaways for today. My prayer is that all of you will leave with your heads up high this morning. I pray that when you leave here, you're going to leave with your heads up high saying, I'm a child of the King. I've got great things in my life, even if things don't seem great, because I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you with me? So there's joy in obedience. Here's your four takeaways. Here's number one. We should strive to be obedient to God's word with the assurance that joy is your reward. You will be more joyful following His ways than your ways. You may be happy following your way, but happiness is not the goal, because happiness is conditional. It fluctuates by what's happening in your life. Joy is eternal. It comes from God. It does not fluctuate. You have it in every circumstance. And so the more that you follow His word, the more that you see not only good things happening, but God things happening. I'm going to be speaking to someone today because God's speaking to me as well. There are some things that God's going to pull you away from for your own good. But you got to be willing to walk away. You got to be willing to be obedient. You got to be willing to say, I'm going to walk away from that toxicity. I'm going to walk away from the things that are harmful for me, because they're harmful for the things that God has for me. Amen? Look at verse 12 again. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. I see Paul writing that with a smile. When I visualize the apostles writing scripture, there's times that I visualize them with a tear in their eyes. There's times that I visualize them smiling. So the Holy Spirit was showing him the Philippians and how they were obedient. And he said, you followed my instructions when I was there with you. And now that I am away, it's even more important. And then it says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. And this is important right here, because Paul didn't say obey me. Paul didn't say obey the Apostle Paul. He said obey God. I'm not saying to you obey James Reese. I'm not saying to you to obey Living Word Chapel. But what I am saying to you is you obey God. He's got to be our master. He's got to be our guide. Jesus is my Savior, but He's also my Lord. Kurios is a Greek word, supreme in authority. He has the authoritative power in my life to tell me do this or don't do this, and I should submit to that. It changes everything when we can do that. Obedience takes work. It's making the choice to not take the easy way out. Salvation is free. Salvation is paid for. Jesus paid the price on the cross. Sanctification. So there's a, and I say this all the time, there's a positional sanctification. We've been transferred from a dark place, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, into the light. So that's, we've been positionally sanctified, but then there's progressive sanctification where we're becoming more like Jesus every day. Every day I should look more like Jesus. I'll never get there to all look just like Jesus until the end when I go home with Him. Amen? But every day there should be a difference in my life. And there should be a difference in your life. So this sanctification, you've got to continue to strive to obey the things that God has for you to obey. You've got to strive to believe that Jesus will do a better job in and through your life than you can. Are you with me? The biggest problem that we have is let go of my ego, or let go of my ego. Amen? Don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me what to do. I know that's never happened with you, but I'm just preparing for the next service. I know you watch it online. You don't struggle with it, but maybe someone driving down the street, they'd struggle with this. No, we all do. We struggle with wanting to have this ownership of our lives instead of giving it to the Lord. I love the way that the NASB puts it, and you guys probably have this translation. It says, "My beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And this is important right there, because he says, work out your own salvation. Don't try to work out somebody else's. We were young in our walk, Shauna and I, right? And we they were given an invitation, an altar call. I'll never forget this. And so they were saying, someone, we believe someone's going to give up something. And so, you know, my wife, you know, kind of struggled with that. Someone's going to give this up. And I did this. Hey, we're young in our walk. I think he's talking to you, babe. That was not a good thing. She said, "You're not the Holy Spirit." I said, "Oh, you're right, I'm not." So we work out our own salvation. Every person is trying to submit themselves to whatever God has called you to do. The prophet Samuel said this to King Saul, because King Saul got ahead of God and did things that were inappropriate. And this is what Samuel, the prophet, said. He said, "Does the Lord have as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to pay attention is better than the fat of rams." Now, this is important to us, because you come to a church service on Sunday, and some of you sing praises to God. Raise your hand if you, some of you sing praises to God. Some of you are not there yet. Some of you are just, you're getting there to that place. But singing praises to God and maybe even lifting up your hands to God, that's one thing, but obeying God is another. Amen? So you come to church on Sunday and you sing praises and you have this worship experience, and then you go home and you live the same way that you lived before you came in. What is God telling us? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than lip service. So there's such a thing as lip service, and there's such a thing as living it out. Amen? Live it, don't lip it. And that makes such a difference in everybody's life, okay? Here's a second takeaway. Always remember that the Holy Spirit produces this joyful obedience. Not only does God desire obedience, the Spirit of God produces it in us. Verse 13, "For God is working in you. He's giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." And this is such a beautiful thing to realize, that the same Spirit who worked in and through Jesus Christ works in and through us to produce fruit, love and peace and patience and faithfulness and self-control and so on. He has the ability to gift us with these giftings that we have to make a difference in and through the body of Christ. He gives us all that. But this same God, the Spirit, also is working in me. He's working in you to give you a desire and the power to do what pleases him. So when there's toxicity in your life, and you recognize it, it's God giving you the conviction to say, "I need to get rid of this in my life." If it's a bad relationship, if it's a financial stewardship situation, or whatever it is, the Holy Spirit will begin to give you conviction, like, you need to do things a little bit different in your life. But not only does he give you the desire to change, he gives you the power to change. Say amen if you believe that. Because if he doesn't give you the power to change, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? He's God. And so he wants to progressively move you from dark places into light places. And when you do, let me say something to you. This is important right here. When you begin to remove toxicity from your life, it will always bring God's joy into your life. Because when people have habits, when people have addictions, when people have strongholds, it's a miserable place to be. Because when you do those things as a Christian, you are going to be so down on yourself, and the devil's going to beat you up. The devil's going to say, you did it again. He's going to tempt you to do it, but then he's going to say, you did it again. You're no good for nothing. You're worthless. You're this and that. That's never God. That's never God. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, he put it like this. He prayed a prayer in chapter 3, verse 20. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That's what the Lord does. That's the power of God. I can't even take credit for the things that he's taken me out of. All the toxicity, all the habits, all the addictions that I've been able to break, it's only been through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only been through the power of the Holy Spirit. So you need to know today that if you're walking in some kind of an addiction, if you're walking in some kind of a stronghold, if the devil has his grips in you, he's not greater than Jesus. And you just need to say, Lord, I want to be obedient. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to allow for you to work in me. But look what Paul said to the Colossians in verse 29. That's why I work and struggle so hard. I depend on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Paul said, I work hard. James Reese should say, I work hard. Not for salvation, but because of it. Nothing happens in life without work. It takes work to read your Bible. You actually have to pick it up. You actually have to open it up. You actually have to read it. Amen? You'll never become who God wants you to become without the Word of God. It takes work. My forgiveness was free. I got to back up. My forgiveness was free, but it cost Jesus his life. But the forgiveness of others in my life, I've got to work to do it. I have to make a choice to forgive people in my life. When I want to hold on to bitterness and hostility and anger, when I want to hold on to that, I've got to say, you know what? I'm going to make a hard choice to forgive them and release them and give them to God. Are you with me? Because God forgave me. So maybe you're stuck. Maybe someone in here, you're stuck. Maybe someone that's watching, you're stuck with unforgiveness. And you say, I can't do it. No, you can do it because God is in you if you have Jesus. And so you have to make a hard choice and say, I forgive that person for what they did and how it made me feel. You got to let God visit the heart. And then you let the Holy Spirit visit the heart and you say, I make a choice to forgive them and I release them to you, Father, because you'll do a better job than I will. See, we go ahead and release them off our hook, but God will never release them off his hook. He'll do what needs to be done perfectly, not like we would do it. Are you with me? Do you see that there's hard work that comes with that? Some people that have addiction, there's hard work. You've got to take some steps to get away from addiction. Relational problems, you got to do some hard works. Dude, there's some things in relationships. If you're going through the same thing because it's easy, see, some people, you go into bad relationships continuously because you default to loneliness instead of saying, Lord, I trust that you're with me no matter what. I know no one struggles with that here, but I'm just saying, you know, for someone else. How about finances? Before I came to Christ, I didn't even know what a budget was. Don't look at me that way. I was young and naive. But guess what? A budget takes what? It takes work. And then you have two people with a budget, and guess what happens? But all these things are vital. Here's your third takeaway. Resist a temptation to grumble and complain, which only darkens the light of Christ that points people to God's joy. Okay, when you grumble and you complain, you live here. When you celebrate the goodness of God in everything that you're going through, you live here. Amen? So the complainers and the grumblers, and they're in churches, not this church. We don't have anyone that complains in this church. Let me move over before lightning strikes, right? But when you complain, when you grumble all the time, you're not giving anyone around you a reason to serve Jesus Christ. You're giving people a reason not to. And so the whole thrust of what we do is we don't want to be complainers. We don't want to be people that criticize, because it does so much damage not only to our life, but everyone around us. Verse 14 of this same chapter, and 15. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Do you want to know what do everything means in the Greek? It means do everything. And throughout our lives, there are things that we enjoy doing. Now, look at that word. There are things that we enjoy doing, and then there are things that we do not like to do. But if we can learn to embrace the joy of Christ in everything, it changes not only our heart, but it changes the heart of those around us. If you learn how to serve people, it changes your heart. But it also changes the people that you serve. So my brother, my older brother, he had a brain aneurysm, probably drug-induced. It's been years back, and he ended up in a wheelchair. He ended up in pretty bad shape. He was very influential in his line of work, and he worked for a pharmacy company in the black market. And he did very well. And so he had this trauma, this horrible situation that happened to him. And he was already hardened. But I'll never forget that there was a season when he came and stayed with Shauna and I. And it wasn't even supposed to happen that way. Does that ever happen to you with family? Like, you wake up and you're like, did they even ask? I know you guys don't deal with that, you know, just your pastor. How did this happen? It's been like a month. But I'll never forget this. You know, he ended up coming through circumstances, and he ended up staying there. And I'd bring him to the church, and I'd have to, you know, help him get in the shower and all these different things. But my older brother, so we had this relationship. We had a love and hate relationship. But I'll never forget that one time he said something. He came at my faith. He's not a Christian to this day, but he came at my faith, and I was so upset. And I wanted to just go punch him in the face. But the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart, and I'm saying this to those that are watching online. But the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart, and he said, "I want you to love him and serve him." I'll never forget that. And I began to just let him say what he said and just love him and serve him and love him and serve him. Well, at the end of the time that he stayed with me and Shauna, he changed. I would people would call and they would ask for prayer. I'd be on the phone, and before he would get mad when I was praying for people, and I'd pray for them, and he would be quiet, he'd listen. And then we could sit down to eat, and he would wait for us to pray a blessing over the food. Something happened when I started serving him without complaining. Because at first, I was here. Lord, I don't even want this guy around. But as I listened to the Holy Spirit, I was here. And the light of Christ began to shine on his heart. Now, he never made a profession of faith. My other brother has. Everyone's saved in my family except for this one guy, Johnny Reese. We're praying for Johnny Reese. We're praying for him. All his circle has been saved. So he's in trouble. I know that. But the reality is all of us have to take those steps to serve people, to love people, to put action behind our words. Church people, you need to know this, that your walk with God is more than coming to church and sitting on a pew listening to this one guy and laughing at some of his jokes. It's more than that. It's actually implementing the things of God into your life. Are you with me? And it's loving people sometimes that are unlovable, because that's what Jesus did. And because Jesus is in, and let me say this, pause. Let me say this. You'll have a more joyful life when you do that. You won't be in misery. And when you do that, then the Lord, his platform gets bigger. His work gets greater. There's a place in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, which had a lot of problems. That church had a lot of problems. They were always bickering, and they were always talking about each other. I'm from Paul. I'm from Apollos. I'm from Cephas. I'm from Jesus. And Paul would say, is Christ divided? No, he's not divided. So all these things he was dealing with. And then he talked to them about remembering the past when Moses had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And all the children of Israel, all they did for 40 years, all they did was complain and grumble. We don't have any meat. They gave them quail. We have too much meat. We don't have any bread. He gave them manna. Oh, we want something else. True. It's a true story. And so Paul reflects, and he goes in 1 Corinthians 10:10. He said, don't grumble as some of them did. Don't grumble as some of them did. And then they were destroyed by the angel of death. So God frowns on grumblers and complainers. Amen? Especially for us Americans that have everything. And we still complain. We still get upset at what we don't have instead of saying, Lord, I'm thankful for what I do have. Are you with me? It changes everything. It's how the joy of the Lord will just begin to work in and through your life. I put down here, even lemons and limes have a purpose. You can eat them and make your face pucker. Or you can do what? Make lemonade or limeade. So there's always something that we can do. I have another relative. His name's Petey Reese, and he does a lot of artwork for NHL players, famous players. Does a lot of artwork for them. And so Petey was a drug addict. You guys are probably thinking, well, your family's a bunch of drug addicts, Pastor Jim. They were. And so Petey got clean from a life of an addiction of cocaine and all kinds of different drugs. And so he's got this brand now called the Clean Life brand. And he's got these really nice lids, these nice caps that say Clean Life. He's got these shirts that say Clean Life. And he ministers to a lot of people. He goes and ministers all over the country about how God set him free from drugs and alcohol through Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous. And so there's a scripture that I told him, bro, this scripture fits you perfectly, and this is what it says in Philippians 2:15 and 16. He says, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. See, it's so important that we begin to say there's a lot of crookedness, there's a lot of perversion around us, but we're the light of Christ. Are you with me? You're the light of Christ. He goes on, hold firmly to the word of life, then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. Okay, so that's important to all of us in here, because for me as a leader in the church, as a communicator of the word of God, it would be horrible if I communicated every week the word of God to you, if I preach the word of God, but there were no changes in your life. And it would be even worse if I was communicating the word of God and there was no changes in my life. Are you with me? There's power in the word of God. There's power in the name of Jesus. Here's your fourth takeaway quickly. One of the greatest goals should be to practice the joy of the Holy Spirit even in the most difficult times of life. How many of you are facing a difficult time right now? Yeah. It's a new year. It's a new you. Don't give up on allowing the Lord to shape your life into something that brings joy instead of heartache. Difficult times came last year and the year before that. And I'm pretty sure that there will be some difficult times this year. But my joy is not determined by my circumstances, but it is determined by the Savior that I serve. Are you with me? Let this year be a different year for you by grabbing a hold of the joy of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. And work hard. Work hard at embracing this joy. Look at what verse 18 says. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. I will share in what you're doing. He's hinging this on verse 17, where he says, I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God, and I want you to share that joy. And so Paul is saying, It takes work. You got to keep striving. You got to keep moving forward. You've got to keep running the race that is before you, and do not give up. Do not give up. I'm going to end with this scripture. The last thing that Paul ever wrote, last thing. He writes to one person that he loved, which was Timothy. And he writes to Timothy, and he says, I have fought the good fight. Can you put that up for me, please? He said, I have fought the good fight. If you think about it, life is a fight. Life is a battle. We're going to see it in the Super Bowl. We're going to see a fight to see who wins the game. They're going to fight. They're going to do everything they can to make a touchdown and to stop them from making. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. So there's an incentive. There's an incentive for you pressing on and doing what God called you to do. There's an incentive because there's a crown that's waiting for you. He said, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. And here's what I know for sure, that Jesus didn't come yesterday, but he could come today. And he might not come today, but he can come tomorrow. And here's what I know for sure, that when he comes, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I don't want to be caught complaining and grumbling and talking about how bad my life is when I have the Savior of the world that died for me and my sins, and he cleansed me of all unrighteousness, and now I've got this internal joy that's there for me to grab a hold of, or it's there for me to push it away. Are you with me? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to embrace this, or are you going to push it away? Let's let the Lord manifest his joy in your life. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time, and thank you for the beautiful people that are here. They're beautiful, Lord God, because they're your people. We pray your blessing upon each and every soul that is here in person and those that are watching online. I pray, Lord, for a true experience with the risen Jesus, the risen Lord. Holy Spirit, make God real to your people. Make God real to everyone who's hearing my voice, and let them embrace Jesus Christ as their Savior. In his name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to end a little different this morning. We're going to end with a slower song, just kind of an invitation song, so that we can just really bring those things to the altar. Amen. Things we talked about today that are just maybe holding us back from experiencing that joy. That you have a wonderful rest of your day. Don't lose your voices today, yelling for your teams. And we'll see you next week.